I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the 17th chapter of John. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Now it begins this way, the first four letters, four words, then these words spake Jesus. These words spake Jesus. What words? Well, the words just before this chapter. Turn to chapter 13. Our Lord gathered his disciples about him. The Lord was going to the cross to die for our sins and redeem us, and send back to the Father. And he gathered his disciples about him, and he began to instruct them. He began to exhort them and instruct them and warn them and encourage them. And these chapters, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, are these words which Jesus spake. Now let me show you chapter 13. You find in that chapter where our Lord washed the disciples' feet, talked to them about humility and preferring one another and encouraging one another. And then down here in verse 34, he tells them to love one another. That's what this chapter is all about, to love one another. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another. And that whole chapter, he talks to them about love, preferring one another, and loving one another, encouraging one another, and walking together in love. And then in chapter 14, he knew they were so depressed and so troubled in spirit and mind. The Lord was leaving them, going to the cross. And here in chapter 14, he comforts them. In verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, how troubled they were. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Comfort, comfort, comfort. And then in chapter 16, the Lord of chapter 15, he talks about their union with him. He says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. The Lord Jesus and his people are one. As the head and the body, as the bridegroom and the bride, as the vine and the branches. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. All right, now look at chapter 16. He talks to them about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will come upon them. And he says now in verse 7, chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. If I go away, if I don't go away, there's no gospel to preach. There's no good news to tell. There's no Holy Spirit to come. There's no salvation to give. If I go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I send him to you. Now watch this. And when he's come, he will reprove, convince, convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. He'll not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit's not going to exalt himself nor ever speak of himself. He's going to speak what the Father told him to speak. And he'll take the things of mine and show them to you. And he'll teach you. He'll be your comforter and your teacher and all of these things, your guide, all of these things. And then in that last verse, verse 33 of chapter 16, and these things have I spoken unto you. These things, what things? That you love one another as I have loved you. That you comfort, be comforted. Comfort one another as I've comforted you. That you be joined together in a living, vital union like the vine and the branches. And that the Holy Spirit is your teacher and comforter. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now in this world, you're going to have tribulation, trouble, trial, sorrow. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now chapter 17. These words spake Jesus. Those words. Get well acquainted with them. Chapters 13, 14, 15, 16 of the book of John. The words our Lord spoke to his disciples when he went back to the Father. Gave them the Holy Spirit. Now, these words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven. This is the Lord's Prayer. I hear people say, well, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. No. That's the disciples' prayer. You pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the disciples'. You know, they said to the Lord, said, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And that's when the Lord said that, pray, and when you pray, say this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's prayer. These words spake Jesus, and he lifted his eyes to heaven. Now, a man doesn't have to lift his eyes to heaven to pray. God's everywhere. But he did say, you pray, our Father which art in heaven. God's throne is in the heavens. The Lord is in the heaven. You are on earth, he said. That's your words be few. God is in heaven. But God is everywhere. Now, he says, listen, read on. The hour's come. What hour? Well, in his earthly ministry, prior to this time, he says, mine hour is not yet come many times. Many times. You know, at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, where our Lord wrought, performed his first miracle. Mary came to him and said, they don't have any wine. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. On one occasion, he said, Father, shall I pray, Lord, deliver me from this hour? For this cause came I to this hour. Now, the hour is come. The hour to suffer. The hour to bear the wrath of God, to bear the sins of his people, to redeem his people. The hour's come. It's come. It's here. The greatest hour in all the history of the world is when our Lord suffered in our place and in our stead. He was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an hour. What an hour. Father, the hour's come. Now watch this. Glorify thy Son. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. The Lord Jesus prays to be glorified. Well, actually, our Lord has all glory. All glory. He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the expressed image of his person. Amen. How can he have any other glory? He needs no added glory. What he's saying here, what the Lord Jesus is praying, what the man Christ Jesus is praying, the man who is about to suffer for the sins of his people, bearing his body, our sins on the tree, and he's praying here, Father, glorify me, help me, strengthen me, support me, sustain me in this awful, awful hour. He prayed there in Gethsemane's garden. He said, if it be thy will, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. He knew this. Bearing the shame and the wickedness and filth of all of our sin, he was going to die right there in that garden. My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Now sustain me. Help me. Strengthen me. Glorify me. And God did. The angels came and ministered to him. Right there. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 50, Isaiah chapter 50, you see exactly what I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus is God, but he's a man. He's as much God as if he were not a man, and just as much man as if he were not a God. I can't explain that. I just know that he was a man, and he had to bear this cup and drink this cup. And here in Isaiah 50, this is the Lord Jesus talking in verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. He hath bored my ear like the bond slave. Bored his ear. A willing, loving bond slave. That's my servant. He calls him my servant. He bored my ear. And I wasn't rebellious. Neither turned I my back away. I gave my back to the smiters. They whipped him. And my cheeks to them that pluck out the hair, they pulled out his beard. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. They spit in his face. But the Lord will help me. That's what he's praying right. Glorify me. Sustain me. Strengthen me. Help me. The Lord will help me. You help me, I pray, as I try to preach here. He'll help you. The Lord will help me. He's the only one who can. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. I shall not be confused. I shall not be ashamed. Therefore, I set my face like a flint. And I know I shall not be ashamed, because he is near that justifies me. Who shall contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's my adversary? Let him come home. Oh, my. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Make one lump into one of the same lump, a vessel unto honor and honor dishonor. The children not being not yet born, having done no good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. He said, Jacob have a love, but Esau have a hated. Thou hast given me authority and power over all flesh. All flesh. All flesh. That's right. Look at this next line. God, thou hast given the Son, thy Son, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. All that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him will have everlasting life. You've given me authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. What is eternal life? What is eternal life? Well, eternal life is not so much how long it lasts. If it's eternal life, it always lasts always. It's eternal life. But eternal life is what it is. What it is. And I give you three things that describe eternal life. Thou hast given me absolute control, power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Eternal life, first of all, then, is the gift of God. Amen. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Eternal life is the gift of God. Eternal life, secondly, is the life of God in us. It's the life of God in us. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Christ dwells in us, and we dwell in him. Christ liveth in us. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of, the faithfulness of, the mercy of, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a gift of God. This is the record. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. In his Son. That's where it is. Thirdly, eternal life is to know God. To know God. Let me show you a scripture. Turn to Galatians 4. Eternal life is to know God. That's what he says here in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Let me ask, look at John 17:3 first. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's eternal, to know God. Now turn to Galatians 3, Galatians 4, verse 9. Galatians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9. Listen. But now, after you have known God, eternal life is to know God. But now what's the next line? Or rather, are known of God. If you know God, it's because he knew you first. That's what he's saying here. Isn't that what he's saying? But now, after you've known God, well, I know the Lord. Well, does he know you? Or rather, are known of God. God has given us eternal life. And this life's in his Son. And eternal life is to know God. I had a good friend back in the 50s, a young man named Charles Eaton. And he came through World War II, and he stayed in the Army. He had a wife and some children at home in Ashland, but he stayed over in Germany. He had a serious heart attack. And a chaplain over there got him saved. He got really disturbed over his condition, and chaplain talked him into a profession, and they baptized him, and he came home and united with our church. He got medical discharge. And for a while, Charles tried to remain faithful. He tried his best, but he just didn't have the interest. But he and I became good friends because we were in the service at the same time. And we were friends, but he quit coming to church altogether. Just lived three blocks from me. But I was on the radio every morning at 8:15. I had a radio broadcast. And he listened to me on the radio. He'd sit at home by himself in the morning, listen to the radio. His wife worked at the school. She worked in the cafeteria. Edith was her name. Well, I hadn't seen him in a long time, and one morning I finished my broadcast, and the announcer said, "Preacher, there's a phone call for you." And I said, "All right," and I picked it up. I said, "Hello." He said, "Preacher?" I said, "Yeah, who is this?" He said, "Charlie." I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I'm lost." I just saw me. "I'm lost. Can you come by the house on your way home?" I said, "I'd be just tickled to death to come by the house." And so we visited, and the Lord did a work of grace in his heart. And he always sat on the front row at the Pollard Baptist Church. Out on the front row. But he didn't back out and quit then. He knew God. He knew that old boy came to know the Lord. And we had Mr. L.R. Shelton was up there a couple of weeks to preach back in 1954. And Charlie sat on the front row. And one Sunday morning, Brother Shelton finished his message. And he's preaching on the subject, do you know God? Right here, eternal life is to know God. And he stepped down out of the pulpit and walked over in the front of this church, the front row, and looked down at that young man. Why he did that, I do not know. But he said, son, do you know the Lord? And Charlie said, I didn't used to, but I do now. I do now. And the preacher got back up in the pulpit and finished, and we said goodbye and go home. I went across the street to Paul Williams' house for lunch. My wife and I and Brother Shelton and Don Fitzer, his wife. We finished our meal. Just as we finished our meal, the phone rang, and it was Edith, his wife. She said, Brother Mahan, Charlie's had another heart attack. Could you come to the house right quick? So Don and I jumped in the car just three or four blocks, and we went over to the house, and he was still on the floor. And Don and I picked him up and put him on the bed, and they called the ambulance by then, and they came, and they put him in the ambulance, and I got in with him and put the mask on his face, and Charlie died. We took him to the hospital, and the doctor said, nothing we can do, he's gone. I looked over at Don Fitzer, and I said, Don, I said, what's the last words you heard Charlie Eaton speak on this earth? Well, he said, I don't know. I said, I do. The very last words I heard him say, preacher said, son, do you know the Lord? He said, I didn't used to, but I do now. I do now. I do now. That's eternal life, to know God. God know you and you know God. And I'm going to give you, seven things to remember tonight. Seven things I want you to listen and remember right here from this chapter. And here's my outline. The Lord Jesus gave us seven things he came to do. Right here in these verses. And every one of them begin with, I have. This is the Lord speaking now. Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Thou hast given me authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And then he said in verse 4, I have glorified thee on this earth. That's the first one. What our Lord came, he came to glorify God. All the old Puritans and all the old confessions of faith begin with a question. What is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of everybody? You know what it is? To glorify God. That's the chief end of everybody. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. I, the man, in human flesh, born of a woman, made under the law, sent down here to glorify God. I have loved thee. I've honored thee. I've obeyed thee perfectly on this earth, on this sinful, corrupt, guilty earth, tempted in all points as they are, yet without sin. I have glorified thee on this earth. Glorified God. Obeyed God. That's what he said when he came to the Jordan River to be baptized of John. John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Our Lord said, suffer it to be so. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And that's what it is. On our behalf, for us, he fulfilled all righteousness. He is our righteousness. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Jeremiah chapter 23, listen to this. He is our righteousness because he fulfilled it completely. He is our righteousness. He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I raise up unto David a righteous branch, a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his day, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. This is his name, whereby he shall be called. He's the Lord, our righteousness. He is the Lord. He's our righteousness. Now look at Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. Now keep that place there and listen, remember what he said. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Now listen to Jeremiah 33, verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby she shall be called the Lord our righteous. That's our name. He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And the church, the elect, we shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Amen. He is our righteousness. I came to glorify you on this earth. He's the only man that ever could say, I've glorified thee on this earth. Now my text. Here's the second thing I want you to see. He says, I have, verse 4, I have glorified thee. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Three questions. Whose work is it? I finished the work you gave me. He lifted his eyes to heaven. His Father, glorify thy Son. I have finished the work you gave me to do. This verse, listen. The works which my Father hath given me to finish, those same works I do. Bear witness with me. Listen to this verse. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Listen to this verse. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes, no man can work. Whose work is it? It's the Father's work. What is the work the Father gave him to finish? The angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary to be that thy wife. That holy thing which is born in her shall be called the Son of God. And you call his name Jesus, Joshua, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the work the Father gave him to do. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter, chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Here's the work the Father gave him to do. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Hebrews 10 says, then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, thy work, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first Adam, the first covenant, the first tabernacle, the first priesthood, the first mercy seat, the first nature, all things. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And God said, I remember their sins no more. Whose work is it? The Father's. What was the work? To redeem his people. Did he finish it? He said that. He said, I finished it. Amen. I finished the work you gave me to do. What's the first words the Lord Jesus Christ, he's born of Mary, and I'm sure he worked in a carpenter's shop, and as he played with his brothers and sisters. Mary had other children, James and Joseph and Judah, and different ones. He played with his brothers and sisters, worked in the carpenter shop. But what's the first words, as a man, as a boy, that he spake on this earth recorded? recorded were. You know what they were? His mother and Joseph went to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles, or some feast. There, about two or three days, and started home. And they came on their journey, a whole day's journey, and it dawned on them that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't with them. He's about 12 years old then, and he wasn't with them. And they came back. They came back looking for him. They looked for him all over. And finally they found him. And they found him in the temple discussing with the Pharisees, Sadducees, the things of God. And the first thing Mary said when she walked in, "Son, we have sought you sorrowing." I came to save. That's why I'm here. Don't you know that I must be about... What's the last words he spoke when he died on the cross? It's finished. It's finished. It is finished. Oh, what pleasure do these glorious words afford. Heavenly blessings without measure flow to us in Christ our Lord. Finished all the types and shadows. Finished all the ceremonial law. Finished all that God promised. And it's ours through his precious blood. All right, let me move on. Here's the third thing our Lord said he came to do. I've glorified thee. I've finished the work you gave me to do. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I've manifested to them your name. I've revealed their names to you. My name to them. They know who I am. They know who I am. They know the true glory of our Lord. You see, in the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And in the Old Testament, the Lord gives his name. The name of the Lord. There's a sevenfold name of God in the Old Testament. Sevenfold name for God. Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rea. Jehovah means God my Savior. And all seven of these names our Lord Jesus Christ manifested to these men. And he's manifested to us. And what do these names mean? All right, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. When old Abraham started up that mountain to sacrifice Isaac. And Isaac, he wasn't a baby. He wasn't a little bitty boy. He was a strapping young man carrying, just like our Lord carried his cross. He carried that wood, carried the fire, going up there to sacrifice to God, to worship God. And that boy turned to his father, and he said, "Father, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrificial lamb? Where's the lamb to be slain for sin?" He said, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide. God will see to it. God will provide the lamb. God will provide the lamb. And God will provide himself the lamb. And God will provide the lamb to himself." That's who Christ is. He's the lamb provided. And then he's the lamb that heals. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." He has put away our sicknesses and our diseases. We're not talking about all of us have these. I'm taking one kind of medicine, you're taking another one. But these things are just part of our daily life. But he took away the real sickness, the sin sickness. Sicknesses and diseases of soul and heart and mind. That's what he takes away. We're pure in Christ. Then he's Jehovah Nissi. That's our banner. His banner over me is love. You want the banner, the ensign, is Christ. His banner over me is love. And then Jehovah Shalom, he's the Lord our peace. And Jehovah Tsidkenu, that's what we talked about a while ago, he's the Lord our righteousness. And Jehovah Shammah, and that means that the Lord is there. Where two or three are met in my name, I'm in their midst. Lo, I'm with you always. Oh, even to the end of the world. Jehovah Rahab, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not walk. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That's his name. And that's the name by which we're saved. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rahab, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my Savior, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on his name. Trust his name. He's our provider in all things. And the Lord revealed the name to those disciples. He's revealed his name to us. We know him. We know who he is. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Here's the fourth thing. He says in verse 8, I have given them, I've given unto them the words that you gave me. I've given them your word. Now we preach the word. We preach the word to all men. We preach not ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus our Lord. Ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Necessity is laid upon me. I must preach. Woe is unto me if I don't preach. But I tell you, I've done a lot of preaching that a lot of people have paid no attention to. That's just so. I've done a lot. I've preached the gospel to a lot of people in a lot of places, a lot of times. And it's gone off their back like water off a duck's back, like water off a marble slab. That's not the kind of preaching he did here. He said, I have not just preached it, I've given them your word. I've given them your word. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I've given them thy word. I've given it to them. This is so good here. John chapter 6, verse 40. John 6, verse 41. Listen to this. The Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he said, I came down from heaven? The Lord Jesus answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man is able to come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And I raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, they shall be taught of God. And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father, he'll come. My word will not return void. It'll accomplish that whereunto I've sent it, that which pleases me. I've given them your word. How do I know that he said he really gave it to them? Well, look at the next line. I've given them the words which you gave, and they received them. That's the way you know. Somebody asked me one time, said, how do you know you're elect of God? By your calling. Which comes first? With God, election comes first. But with calling, it comes to me first. I know my election by my calling. I know he's given me his word because he put it in my heart. They received them. Listen. And they have known surely that I came from thee. And listen. And they believe that you sent me. Paul said, knowing, brethren, your election of God. How in the world can he say, I know their election? Because, knowing, brethren, beloved, because God Almighty, let me read that to you. Now over here in, Second Timothy, First Thessalonians, chapter 1. Listen, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, it came in power. They received it, they believed it, and they knew it came from God. Our gospel came to you in power. I've given them your word, and they have received them. All right, here's the fifth one. Back John 17, verse 11. And I am no more in this world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you've given me, I've kept. Now you and I know this, and this grieves my heart, and I weep over it too very often. Many folks get religion, and unfortunately they tire of it. They grow weary of it, weary of the journey, and lay it aside. Some folks get a feeling, real wonderful experience, and soon they lose it. Some folks study doctrine. They adopt all the doctrines and the duties and the traditions and all these things, you know, and then a little trouble comes along and they depart from it. And that was true. That's not only true now, it's true in the days of the apostles. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Turn to First John chapter 2. This verse is so clear in regard to this thing. First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 19. Listen. John said, they went out from us, left the gospel, left us, left the worship services. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, they left, they quit, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. Christ said, I have given them thy word, I have kept them. The Father keeps them. John chapter 6, one day our Lord preached to a crowd of people, and most of them left, and he turned to the disciples, and he said, will you go away? Will you go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You won't leave. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, and no man will pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them me. My Father's greater than all. No man's going to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I've kept them. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. All right, here's the sixth one. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. I've sent them into the world. Now, I want you to pay attention to what he says. I have sent them into the world. I've sent them into the world. Now, false religion sends its disciples into monasteries, into nunneries, into communes, into secret societies, into cults, into caves, into societies, into church schools for Christians only. Our Lord said, I've sent them into the world. I've sent them into the world. Into the world? Yeah. I've sent them right into the world. Into the world, and in that world, they're sin. They're not perfect. They're sin, but I'll forgive them, and I'll keep them. And in that world, they work. Work where they labor with their hands. They'll be associated with sinners. They'll be associated with enemies of the gospel. But I'll separate them, and I'll keep them. And I'll deliver them. And in that world, they'll be tempted. Oh, how they'll be tempted. But I'll give them grace. I'll give them strength. I'll sustain them. And in that world, they'll have sorrow. Deep sorrow. In that world, they'll have broken hearts. In that world, they're going to suffer. But I'll comfort them. And they'll find out my grace is sufficient for every trial. And in that world, they'll suffer, but they'll suffer a while, he said. A while, not eternally, a while. And I'll make them perfect, and I'll establish them, and I'll strengthen them, and I'll settle them. And in that world, they're going to be my witnesses. They'll be like the salt that you put on the meat. You don't take salt and hide it. You put it on the meat so the meat will taste better. The salt loses its savor where we're savors where we should be salty. So I send my people that they're the salt of the earth, and they make this old place a little better to live in, and make. And I send them as the light of the world. And you don't take a candle and put it under a bushel. You put it on the candlestick. So it'll give light out there. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I've sent them into the world. As thou sent me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. All right, here's the last one, verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. You think about that. The glory that God gave the Son, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know you sent me, and you have loved them as thou hast loved me. How much does God love you? Just like he loves his Son. And here's the last part. Father, right back where we started, lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Now here's the last of the prayer. Father, my heavenly Father, this whole prayer is addressed to the Father. Father, I will. If no human being can ever say that in the presence of God, I will, except one, and that's Christ. You say, thy will be done. Christ says, I will. The Son will quicken whom he will. I will. I will that they also, which thou hast given me. He said, I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. Father, summing up this whole priestly prayer, I will that those whom you gave me be with me where I am at the right hand of God in Christ, that they may behold my glory which thou gave me. For, here's the reason. Father. You know, I hear people say, the gospel is John 3:16 in a nutshell. Well, the gospel is not a nutshell, and it's not in a nutshell, it's in a person, it's in Christ Jesus. But the gospel is not in John 3:16. You turn to John 3:16. Let's see if there's any gospel in John 3:16. Now go back to the gospel's in John 3:14. That's the gospel. The gospel has a sacrifice and a death and a lamb lifted up. Look at verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's got to be crucified. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That's the gospel. It's the Christ of the cross. That's the gospel. Now, that's the remedy. The Son lifted up. The sacrifice lifted up. The sacrifice which Moses typified there in Numbers. John 3:15 is the result, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes on the serpent lifted up, on the lamb lifted, on the sacrifice, that's the remedy. Here's the results. Whoever believes on him will have everlasting life. Now here is why. Here is the reason. For God so loved the world. That's the reason. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him may have everlasting life. The remedy is the lamb sacrifice. The results is the belief on him. And the reasons, because God loved us. Now look at our verse 24 in John 17, and I'll close. John 17:24. Father, I will that thou, those also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. That's the reason. That's the reason. You love me. And because you love me, you love them. And because you love them, you love me, you love them. And they love you. And they love me. That's right. And they love one another. By this shall all men know you, my disciples, if you have love one to another. The Lord bless you. Thank you.
Well, I'll just go on back to the back.